Chapter 26. Rouge. Zoe flipped her stylus around her thumb pensively, staring at her screen. The words of her math assignment seemed to blur in front of her, as she thought about the mess she was in. As a result of their day spent playing hooky, Jace was grounded and couldn't speak to her or log in to Vo. He spent every day staring morosely at his screen, hoping for a message from Fluff anyway. Fluff wasn't talking to either of them, and she hadn't been to humanities class since Myrna outed her. Her friends came, but they spent the whole class period glaring holes in the back of Zoe, Jace, and Myrna's heads. Zoe didn't know if Fluff had actually dropped the class, even though it was unlikely she'd be able to get another one at this point, or if she was just using her friends for notes and she'd show up when there was a test. Meanwhile, Zoe's dad had come home as soon as he could, once he realized that she and Jace were home. He had driven Jace home as soon as Jace logged out for a bio break, and then he'd sat in the guest room waiting for Zoe to log out so that he could lecture her about responsibility for what seemed like a week. He hadn't grounded her, but he had taken away her next mental health day, so she didn't get one until she was a junior. Then there was Aspen. Aspen had always been a little angsty, which totally made sense with everything that he'd been through, but ever since he burned the blood vials and ruined any chance of them making their own greater vampires, he'd been super depressed. She had to admit, she'd been a little excited about the possibility of becoming a vamp, because even though the blood thing was gross, it would still be really interesting and different. Honestly though, once she'd really thought about it, she knew she wouldn't have wanted to do it. She just wasn't the creature of the night type, and plus, what if the system counted her as actually dying and made her fail the Who Run the World quest? Anyway, the only bat they had was Silas, though they also had a whole underground village, so there was that. And there was no way she was letting anything happen to her friend. The fact that Silas had even thought that was an option was kind of sad, actually. And Zoe made a mental note to catch the little bat, an extra big moth, next time she logged on. Now that the blood was gone, Zoe didn't know what she could possibly do to improve the situation in Refuge. She thought that someone would have been willing to try becoming a vamp, even if Zoe couldn't do it. She could totally see WikiWee being a great vampire, for example, and Fluff, if she was even still playing, could have done some amazing roleplay. And bonus, they could have totally kicked Akuji's cultists' behinds and actually protected the city. Zoe sighed and flipped her screen over, then leaned forward to rest her forehead on her desk. Mrs. Baldus, the math teacher, was droning on about derivatives and integrals, but Zoe had already set her screen to record, so she just let herself zone out. The only good thing that had happened was that the video of Zoe doing her crazy flip and twist on the school steps hadn't gotten much traction. Her face wasn't really visible in the vid, and the kid who'd caught it had actually been recording his buddy burping DeWink's latest hit at the time, so Zoe was only on the edge of the image most of the time. Since Zoe wasn't exactly popular, no one had ID'd her yet, and she had donated the clothes she'd been wearing to the kiosk at the grocery store, so no one would ever see her in that outfit again. As she rolled this small nugget of positivity over in her mind, Zoe vaguely heard pings coming from all around her. Curious, she raised her head and saw that every single student plus Mrs. Baldus were staring at their screens, which should have only shown class-related information. Zoe flipped her screen over and stared at what it revealed. The video. The video. The burping boy was cropped out, and only a blurry Zoe was visible. She cringed as she watched herself execute a perfect one-handed handspring, with what actually looked like a double twist, before she landed two steps below where she'd started. Her face was still out of focus, but you could tell that it was a slim, young black girl with braids. Zoe suppressed a curse. Just last year, there was no way anyone would have been able to tell if the androgynous figure was even male or female, but now, when the shirt pulled across her chest, there was little doubt. What a time to finally blossom! A few of the kids at nearby desks were beginning to cast glances at Zoe, who was one of only two girls in the room who looked anything like the girl in the video. Zoe mustered a weak smile and just gave a "man, that chick is cool. I wish I could do that," kind of a shrug. She could almost see the other kids dismiss the quiet, dorky girl as a possibility as she turned back to her screen, pretending to be occupied with watching the video as it played over and over again. She looked up as she heard the teacher talking quietly on the ancient landline phone that all the classroom still had, just in case. Zoe had actually thought the things were just for looks, since she'd never seen anyone use one before, but Mrs. Baldus was talking into it and pausing, as if she was getting some kind of answer. After a few sentences, Mrs. Baldus hung up the receiver and pasted on a fake smile. Class. She clapped her hands sharply, and everyone stopped their giggling and whispering and looked up at her. I just spoke to the office, and it seems that some jokester has hacked the school system. They're broadcasting to every screen on the network, so we're just going to turn our screens off and… She broke off as the looping video abruptly shifted to static text. There were only 5 words, but when Zoe read them, she felt like someone had poured a bucket of ice water over her head. Hello, Rouge. I found you. The simple black letters hung there, and Zoe could see with a glance that they were on every screen, just like the video had been. Her mouth had gone dry, and she struggled to swallow as she tried to decide what to do. The phone rang, and Mrs. Baldus picked it up. Her mouth pinched, and she set the receiver carefully back in the cradle. Class, the principal has decided that this constitutes a possible threat against one or more of our students. We're going to initiate lockdown procedures, so everyone please quietly sit down against the far wall. All screens and lights off. We will need complete silence. Just like the drills, ladies and gentlemen. As everyone shuffled to the farthest corner of the room, away from doors and windows, Mrs. Baldus turned off the lights and locked the door. The teacher and students sat in silence for an eternity before someone knocked at the door and called the all-clear code. By then, everyone had gotten over the first rush of fear, and they were fidgeting and bored, though they froze like a herd of frightened deer each time someone in the halls tried to turn the door handle. Math class was long over when Mrs. Baldus turned on the lights again and opened the door to speak quietly to a man Zoe vaguely recognized as the assistant principal, Mr. Kingman. Mrs. Baldus turned back to the class and smiled, though she looked stressed and tired underneath it. I'm very proud of all of you, she said warmly. I know this was frightening, and you handled it like the young adults you are. We're going to go ahead and have lunch now, but no one is allowed to leave campus until school is out. She raised an eyebrow at a boy in the front row whose hand had instantly shot up at this news. Yes, Mr. Chastain, that includes seniors. No senior privilege today, I'm afraid. Now everyone, off to lunch, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. Don't forget to do your homework. No excuses. The math teacher ushered them all out of the room with encouraging and supportive words, and as Zoe drew near the door, she reflected that she really hadn't given the woman enough credit. Calculus was boring, but Mrs. Baldus managed to make it at least a little bit interesting, and she seemed like a really nice lady. As Zoe was about to exit the room, Mrs. Baldus touched her arm. Miss Williams, may I have a moment of your time? Zoe nearly jumped out of her skin, but managed a sickly smile and a nod. After all, it may have been couched as a question, but everyone knew when a teacher asked to talk to you, that meant you were talking to the teacher, like it or not. After everyone else was gone, Zoe realized that the other black girl with braids had stayed behind too, and she clenched her teeth as she tried not to hyperventilate. They were trying to figure out who the girl in the video was, and if they figured it out, they'd tell her dad. If her dad found out, that was the end. No matter what he'd promised Bridget, no matter how much he wanted to officially meet Bree Stevenson, no matter what, Zoe would never play Veritas online again if her dad thought she was actually in danger from some psycho stalker. Mrs. Baldus looked from Zoe to the other girl, expression serious. Miss Davies, Miss Williams, do either of you recognize the girl in the video we saw before lockdown? The other girl, Leslie? Little? Latrell shook her head, looking a little frightened. Zoe mimicked both movement and expression, and Mrs. Baldus nodded. All right. Thank you for your time, ladies. As they began moving toward the door, Mrs. Baldus cleared her throat and added, If either of you remember anything that could be helpful, please let someone know. If you're not comfortable speaking to me, all of the teachers and staff are here to help you. We don't want anything to happen to any of our students. Zoe's step hitched. Was she imagining that the teacher was looking directly at her when she said that last sentence? Well, if they knew anything for sure, Zoe would be on her way to the principal's office right now. So she just had to keep looking like an innocent bystander for a little while longer. The halls were even noisier and more hectic than usual, since no one was being allowed outside. Everyone had out their screens, and from the glimpses Zoe caught of them as she walked, it looked like the school had managed to shut down the hacker's message, but the regular net wasn't back up yet. Normally, during lunch everyone would be on their screens, but everyone looked more than a little frustrated, so she assumed that the school had just locked down the signal for the duration. Zoe. Zoe looked up as she heard Jace's voice and smiled, feeling a weight lift from her chest that she hadn't even realized was there. Her friend wove his way through the crowds, and when he finally managed to reach Zoe's side, he had a grin on his face that she thought was entirely inappropriate, considering the circumstances. She punched him in the arm gently. "What are you so happy about?" A black-haired head poked around Jace's arm, and the little Filipino girl from Mr. Sanchez's class peered at her warily. The girl had deep brown eyes that dominated her small round face, and she looked like she wasn't sure whether to smile or flee. Zoe's eyes widened. "FL. The girl nodded, blinking. "Sophia. You're? Zoe?" Her voice was completely the opposite of what Zoe had expected. She spoke so softly that her words were barely audible in the loud hall, and Zoe read her lips as much as heard her words. Zoe nodded, wide eyes going from Sophia to Jace. "Yeah. So, are you two?" She trailed off, waggling her fingers in a vaguely meaningful manner. For a moment, she forgot her own worries, looming as they were. Jace nodded even as Sophia shook her head. Then Jace shook his head sadly while Sophia nodded uncertainly. Zoe actually managed a small laugh, because they were adorable, before looking around for an escape route that would work for all of them. The lunchroom would be overflowing, and both Jace and Zoe brought lunch anyway. The halls looked and kind of smelled like a fresh can of sardines, full of tightly packed fish. Most of their usual lunchtime retreats were outside, so that really only left Roof? Zoe and Jace asked at the same time. They both nodded, and Jace cautiously reached down to grasp Sophia's hand, treating it like spun glass that might shatter if he pressed too hard. The three of them headed for the single door that stood beside the janitor's office. The door led to the stairs to the roof. Zoe was sure it was supposed to be locked, but it never was, and today was no different, in spite of the earlier lockdown. Hesitating beside the door, Zoe glanced around. There were people everywhere, but no one was looking at them. So she nodded to Jace and they all ducked inside. The narrow stairway inside somehow always managed to smell of both bleach and pee, but they dashed up the stairs before the stink could overwhelm them, and Zoe held the door for her two friends. As soon as they were all through, she pressed a small rock into the latch plate and let the door close with a thunk. Zoe couldn't keep the grin off her face as she looked back around at her two friends. Jace looked like he might explode with happiness, while Sophia was clutching one arm with the opposite hand and looking away from both of them, her shoulder-length black hair falling around her face. She was clearly very uncomfortable, but she was there. Surprisingly, it was Sophia who spoke first. She tossed her hair back just like Flu Flu did in Vo, and Zoe grinned even wider. Were they going to get to see Fluff in real life? "The girl in that video is you, right, Rouge? I mean, Zoe. I wanted to make sure you're okay, and—" The hair fell down again, and Zoe's heart skipped a beat. How hard was it for this shy girl to approach them, especially since they knew her, presumably, embarrassing secret? Yeah. Zoe tugged on a braid. "I almost tripped and I just did that to you know," she waved a hand dismissively, "not fall down the stairs. It wasn't a big deal, except some stupid idiot recorded it and put it online." Jace and Sophia stared at her. "Not a big deal?" Jace asked. "You look like a ninja or something. How'd you do that crazy flip? You've never exactly been athletic, so." Zoe put her hands on her hips and glared at him. "Hey. I was a green stripe in karate when I quit, and I won a couple of medals for beam in gymnastics." "When you were a kid," Jace said, emphasizing each word. "That was before I even met you. The only thing you like in PE now is that stupid climbing rope." Sophia looked from Jace to Zoe. Are you sure you guys aren't? No, they both said emphatically. Jace turned to Sophia, reaching for her hands. Fluff, the only person I love is you. Please forgive me. I swear I didn't know you went to our school. I wasn't trying to trick you. When I saw you in class, I wasn't even going to say anything. Sophia looked away, but she let Jace capture her hands, and she didn't really look angry. How can I trust you now? Her voice was quiet and forlorn. Jace got down on his knees, staring up at Sophia with an expression of adoration that made Zoe want to crack up. She looked away, trying to give them a little privacy. Flu Flu, you are the light of my life, the wind beneath my wings, the peanut butter on my sandwich. I would never do anything to hurt you. Zoe rubbed her face, desperately trying to hide a laugh. Jace had always wanted to be a poet, but he just didn't have a lyrical bone in his body. From the corner of her eye, Zoe caught a glimpse of movement, and she looked back just in time to see Sophia throw her arms around Jace's shoulders. Oh, Lyric! My heart burned without you. I spent each night in sorrow and lamentation. The girl leaned forward to press a kiss to Jace's upturned lips, and Zoe felt her own cheeks start to burn. She definitely should not be witnessing this, for so many reasons. There was a prolonged period, filled with noises that Zoe didn't want to think about too much. When someone touched her on the shoulder, she was so startled that she jumped and spun, her hand opening. She was almost surprised when she didn't feel the solid weight of her mom Belle's hilt in her palm. Jace and Sophia stared at her, wide-eyed. Jace was on his feet again, thank goodness, but his arm was around Sophia's shoulders and hers was around his waist. From their flushed faces and mussed hair, Zoe thought it was safe to assume they'd made up. Zoe? Do you know how high you just jumped? Zoe swallowed. A totally normal amount for someone who was startled? They both shook their heads, still staring at her. Okay, well, she winced, wondering exactly how to explain this. She'd signed about 100 legally binding non-disclosure agreements, and she was pretty sure that "my friends were curious" wouldn't be a valid reason for breaking it. I can't explain. Jace's eyes narrowed. Does it have to do with the, you know what? Zoe's secret quest. Secret quests had to be kept secret from absolutely everyone, or they would fail. People had talked about them on the forums or sent private messages to their buddies, and then found that the failure notice was waiting for them next time they logged in. People had tried to sue for invasion of privacy, but apparently there was something in the EULA about conversations that occurred in locations accessible by the public, and all in-game conversations being monitored for violations and blah blah blah, but long story short, no one ever got very far with that. As a result, the few people who got secret quests didn't say anything about them until they were over, one way or the other. Zoe just nodded, zipped her lips, and threw away the key. Jace snickered, but Sophia just looked confused. The Filipino girl coughed slightly and then tentatively asked, "Can I do it too?" "Whatever you did?" "Oh. Oh, of course." Fluff was all about dreaming of being a hero, or a character in an epic saga. Of course, she would want to be able to do backflips and run almost 25 miles per hour. Not that they knew Zoe could run 25 miles per hour, and not that she'd snuck out at night and clocked herself with one of those traffic speed monitoring signs near her house or anything. Zoe shook her head sadly. "I'm sorry, Fluff. I'm not even sure how it happened. I mean, I have some guesses, but I definitely can't help anyone else do it. I'm pretty sure it's temporary too." Both Jace and Sophia looked disappointed, but they accepted it more easily than Zoe had expected. "That explains the supervillain anyway," Sophia said thoughtfully. Jace and Zoe stared at the girl and she flushed. "What? Wherever there's a superhero, there's always a supervillain. That's how it works. So who is it?" Zoe drew in a fortifying breath. "I think it's Phantom Hat." Jace stared at her. "But he's dead." Sophia looked shocked, then impressed. "You killed Phantom Hat? Seriously? How did I miss that?" Jace nudged her and said teasingly, "You were hiding." She wrinkled her nose at him. "Because you called me out. In class." He flushed. Technically, that was Myrna. Zoe interrupted the flirtatious banter. Okay guys, you're adorable, and I don't want to make it all about me, but can we focus on the creepy stalker who just hacked our school's net to send me a totally ominous message? Her friends immediately grew serious, and Jace said, Zoe, you need to tell your dad. She shook her head furiously. You know what he'd do. He'd panic, probably pull me from school, and definitely shut down my Veritas account. Heck, he might even ship me off to Uncle Milo or Aunt Danica. Or she shuddered, Grandma. Jace blinked. Your grandma's awesome. Mine just bakes cookies and complains about her daughters-in-law. Yours rides a motorcycle and helps build houses in Uruguay. That's because she says she paid her dues when she was a mom. She's having her second childhood, but it's weird because she's old. Whenever I go stay with her, she wants me to work in a soup kitchen or climb Pike's Peak with her. Zoe grimaced. Jace snorted a laugh, but Sophia looked impressed. That's so cool, the girl said. My grandma just wants me to go to church and learn about abstinence. Jace looked momentarily horrified, but when he started to open his mouth, Zoe cut in before he could say something he would regret later. Grandma's aside, I think Akuji is just about to attack refuge. They need me, and I can tell Dad about this as soon as the battle is over. And my quest is either won or done, she added to herself. Jace looked conflicted. But Zoe, this guy is coming after you for real. The game is just a game. What if he tries to hurt you? Like the real you. Plus, you know Refuge is going down. There's no way we can beat Akuji's army with the people we have. You mean you guys don't know? Sophia sounded surprised, and she pulled her screen from her pocket. It was a nice folding one, way nicer than Zoe's, and Sophia tapped her jaw and sub-vocalized a command, so the girl definitely already had an implant. Zoe's momentary jealousy vanished as Sophia held up the screen, showing a rapidly shifting wall of text, emojis, and memes. The forums are going crazy. The Mighty Chan, the best enchanter in Vo, posted yesterday. He said he'd personally make a unique accessory for whoever goes to Refuge and defeats the most cultists and demonic beasts. Basically, everybody who isn't in the cult is racing to see who can get to Refuge first, and they're all logging their kills. Some of the people who already joined the cult are trying to switch sides too, but I guess they had to make a bunch of vows, and if they quit, their characters get major debuffs. The Mighty Chan. Zoe and Jace exchanged amazed glances, and Zoe dug out her screen. Quickly, she tapped out a message to her favorite, extra favorite now, rideshare driver, Jackie Chan. A moment later, her screen buzzed. A Jackie Chan 411, yo Z. I outed myself, huh? Keep it on the DL, yo. Hope it helps. I hate those mother oh crap, I can't say that to a kid, yeah I hate those fluxers but I'm on a gig, so gotta go send, yes send. Zoe giggled. Voice to text was seriously the best. She showed the message to her friends, and they all grinned at each other. Sophia looked impressed. Can you introduce me sometime? I bid on a brooch he made once, and I was out of the running before I got a second chance. I hear he uses super rare crafting materials though, so all of his items are at least epic rated. Sure, Zoe said, grinning like a loon. If the players actually manage to get there before Refuge gets crushed like an egg, I'll take everybody out to dinner, including Jackie. I still have a lot of my savings from my summer job, so I can totally swing it. Jace, however, looked even more determined. See, Zoe? Refuge will be fine even if you're not there. You need to tell Dr. Williams what's going on. Zoe bit her lip and lowered her voice, even though there was no one around to hear them. Look, I'm pretty sure I know who Phantom Hat really is, and he actually worked at Veritas Corp at the same time I did. Sophia's brown eyes were wide in amazement, and she squeaked just like Silas did when she was super excited. You worked at Veritas? Like the real Veritas? She held up her fingers in the V over O shape of Veritas Corp's famous logo, and Zoe nodded. How did you manage that? I'm 16, and when I applied for the internship, they told me they preferred seniors and 17+. I can't tell you that either. Zoe said apologetically, then held up a hand as the other girl looked like she was about to protest. I swear I'll tell you as soon as I can. Like maybe next week? Just not until things are settled with Akuji. Sighing, Sophia nodded reluctant agreement, and Jace jumped in again. Zo, you know I keep your secrets, but... She cut him off. I know. I promise I'll tell Dad soon too, and take whatever consequences he dishes out. But I'm telling you, I worked with this guy for over a month, and I think he knew who I was too. I mean, Rouge pretty much looks just like me except, she gestured to her own rounded ears meaningfully and they nodded. Anyway, I think he's just pissed because I killed him. He's been stalking my sister for years, and he's never done anything real to her. I can't explain why, but I think he lost some levels and probably isn't a vampire anymore. At least, if his quest had the same rules as mine, and he got reset back to whatever level he was when he accepted the quest. I really think he's just the kind of guy who can't handle losing, and he gets all obsessed when things don't go his way. I don't like him being all threatening and stuff either, but he's not going to hurt me. Jay scowled. Famous last words, Zoe. He sighed and ran a hand through his hair. Fine. You have until next Monday, or I'm telling your dad. That's if the school doesn't figure it out first, because there can't be that many short, skinny black girls with braids that go here. Zoe stuck her tongue out at him. Jerk. Fine. Until Monday then. She held up her hand, pinky extended. Jace wrapped his own pinky around hers and they shook solemnly. 3 more days. 3 days and then this was all over, one way or the other.